This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant leader. We're joined by Mike Klayman. Mike is the CEO of Flexion Therapeutics, and he'll tell us about Flexion. He'll tell us what he sees in health tech and biotech activity this coming year and deal activity and a lot more. Mike, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Thanks very much, Scott. Yeah, Mike Klayman, CEO and co-founder of Flexion Therapeutics. Physician by training, in academia at the University of Pennsylvania, went to Eli Lilly and Company to learn how to do clinical research and spent 20 years there in a variety of roles, management roles, running global regulatory affairs, the cardiovascular therapeutic area, clinical pharmacology at different times, and then ended my career at Lilly. Working with Dr. Neil Bodick, leading a component called CHORUS that accelerated the development of new compounds coming from the lab to meaningful proof of concept, and then externalized the model at the encouragement of some venture capital friends. Neil and I took early retirement from Lilly, formed Flexion with the original intent of continuing to work on this lean to proof of concept model. A long story short, pivoted along the way and focused on what we saw as a very large unmet medical need, ripe for innovation, the whole area of treatment of local treatment of osteoarthritis, and that has now blossomed into local therapies for musculoskeletal disease, more broadly, osteoarthritis, postoperative pain, and low back pain.
And take a moment on this. I want to ask you about Flexion and a few points of pride, but I also want to talk to you. You had mentioned that as you started your business plan and started to move forward, you ended up doing a pivot. And talk about the point in time in the business where it became clear to you that you had to do a pivot to be successful. Take a moment on that, because it's so instrumental and it's so important to almost every business. Great leaders realize they put together a business plan. It's almost like the old war analogy. You have a game plan, and then as soon as something's fired or as soon as something happens, the game plan ends up changing. But you have a good plan is so critical to start with. But talk about that pivot moment and how you got to that pivot moment.
Yeah, it recalls a Dwight Eisenhower quote, "Planning is indispensable, plans are worthless." So we did a lot of planning, but the plan ultimately needed to be jettisoned, and we needed to confront the brutal facts. And the brutal facts were the original premise of the business model when we formed Flexion was that we would in-license interesting assets from large pharma that they did not have the resources to fully develop themselves. We would bring them to meaningful proof of concept on our own dime. And then we would, in essence, sell them back to the originator or someone else who might be interested at proof of concept. And we came to appreciate, and, you know, you remember these things in the course of your career. I remember I was attending a conference in New York, and a colleague, Roger Longman, said, you know, Mike, the large pharma is no longer, is very often not paying premiums for proof of concept assets. And that was a foundational premise for our model, that we would generate clinical trial data that would demonstrate the value proposition of a promising new drug, and that would then translate into appropriate remuneration back to the company, and we'd do it again. And that was a seminal moment for me. And ultimately for the company, we took a step back and we said, is that in fact correct? And we talked to a lot of large pharma colleagues that basically said, look, we'd be prepared to pay you some very modest sum at proof of concept and maybe do a deal where you would have to continue to develop it and we would pay for success with downstream milestones. Or, you know, we might say to you, look, that's pretty interesting. Why don't you do the full-fledged dose-ranging study, which implies multiple millions of dollars more investment on our part, Flexion's part. And as we looked at these things, a small group of us did this work with outside parties and took a step back. We had in-licensed at that point an injectable for osteoarthritis knee pain, came to appreciate the enormity of the unmet need there and the relative lack of innovation in that space. And we said, this is an opportunity for us to be masters of our own fate, not have to have our work be recognized by a large pharma potential partner. Rather, we could take these assets all the way to market because they can be commercialized with a relatively small sales force of around 100. So long story short, we built a portfolio of high quality shots on goal around that in-licensed injectable for osteoarthritis. And one of those was what is now Zilretta. It was then FX006, a sustained release intra-articular steroid that we conceptualized, reduced to practice, put into clinical trials, did all of the clinical development, and ultimately got approved over the course of a number of years, and then launched the product back in October, November of 2017. And we've been selling that product since ourselves. And we're very, very pleased with the quality of the response to that product, the benefit it's demonstrating for patients. And we can talk more about that. Was the pivot.
It's magnificent. And talk for a moment. You use the phrase shots on goal. It's almost like an old hockey player or maybe a soccer player in today's world. But the concept of taking shots on goal, having a couple different efforts at winning, not just one, and being willing to shoot the puck. Talk about that mindset just for a moment, because I think it's so important. We have somebody that talks about, you know, ready, set, fire. And somebody else who talks about ready, set, aim, then fire. And success is often somewhere closer to the first plan, even though there should be lots of planning, a lot of strategy. But you need to take shots on goal, don't you? And talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I think the underlying principle there, Scott, is one of attrition, meaning that you can have very, very encouraging animal data that sets the stage for moving a promising new medicine into its initial clinical trials. But the reality is that there is as much discovery in the clinic as there is at the bench. And what I mean by that is no one can predict with certainty what you'll find when you put potential new medicine into the clinic. So from our perspective, we've always maintained the view that we need to have at least three high quality shots on goal to reasonably argue that at least one of them has a credible chance of making it all the way to market. And interestingly, Zilretta, our launch product, came out of a pipeline of three different assets. We had in-licensed our first asset from AstraZeneca, a completely novel compound. We in-licensed a second asset from AstraZeneca in this same space, the injectable for osteoarthritis. And then we originated what is now Zilretta ourselves, and we progressed each of those toward the clinic. The other two compounds fell by the wayside for reasons of concerning preclinical data, and Zilretta merges winner. We were agnostic. Our goal was to do what we call truth-seeking experiments to identify which of those three was going to win. I mean, we could have gone 3-for-3, and frankly, Scott, we could have gone 0-for-3, but you have to have that critical mass.
And talk about another concept, because you talk about this, about the reported numbers that people spend try and get something through research, through the pipeline, from the lab to the clinic to actual success. The numbers are crazy. And then the cost of drugs become not cheap because it's impossible. It's very, very expensive to get things from point A to point B. The numbers are astronomical. And you're talking about the uncertainty. You do something in the lab, you don't know how it's going to translate in the clinic. How much is technology making this a little bit better, increasing the probability a little bit that things will get from lab to clinic and work? How much has technology improved that over the last, either the pace or the timing, or not so much, the ability to take higher quality shots on goal, let's say?
Yeah. Well, I do think it's fair to say that the science is expanding almost exponentially. And what that translates into is increasing numbers of what I'll call high quality targets that you then develop medicine to block or accentuate. That's one way to think about it. Having said that, and you know, you can do really good, and I think the industry is doing a better job of ensuring that whatever new medicine they put into the clinic demonstrates what we call target engagement. It's actually getting to the target to, for example, block it. But at the risk of sounding, how shall I say, not negative, but balanced, I'll say it this way. There's still an inherent element of serendipity, because you just cannot be certain about the safety profile of a systemically administered product, despite the fact that you do all kinds of work in advance of ever putting a potential new medicine into patients. There are surprises down the line. You just can't be confident that you could predict efficacy. And I think here's what I'll call a positive example. The development of the COVID vaccines is a tour de force. I mean, certainly what we've seen so far from Pfizer and Moderna, a tour de force of what the industry can accomplish when it sets its mind to doing something extraordinary. And this will go down in the annals as extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary by any measure. No one could have predicted that the Pfizer vaccine or the Moderna vaccine would have efficacy in the 95% range. I'm going to sound dogmatic. You just could not have predicted that. You could have hoped for it, and you could not have predicted what is thus far a very positive safety profile, where the vast majority of any adverse events are local adverse events and well tolerated. The ability, it could have gone in different directions. So that's,
I think most of us, to your point, most of us thought if this was like a flu vaccine and 56% of the people it works for, magnificent, yeah. It would greatly reduce spread. It doesn't get anywhere near eradicating the virus, but greatly reduce the spread, because you get 50% of the people it works for. It's 150 million people taken out of the virus pool, and God bless, we're off to the races and much better off. Yeah. 90% is magnificent, but it does, of course, it's imperfect, because it leaves that 5-10% or 15% of the older people it doesn't work for. So we really do need a lot of people to take it so as to reduce the amount of spread in our environment too. Yes. I mean, it's a fascinating thing, but you're absolutely right. Your point is well taken. Let me finish up by, Mike, asking you to give us a couple points of pride on Flexion, just a couple points of pride in the company that you and your co-founder have built. Tell us a couple things you're particularly proud of.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm most proud of two things. One is, you know, people in working in biotech, biopharma, pharmaceutical industries, people are all aligned around the idea that what is the higher calling here is delivering medicines that matter to patients in need. That is the greatest gratification of the opportunity for us, and that's the commitment of ours, and that's kind of the light at the end of this, what can be a very long tunnel, a very long and expensive tunnel. So when you close that loop and you have patients feedback to you and tell you how beneficial your medicine is to their quality of life, which we've heard again and again from grateful Zilretta patients, that is rewarding beyond belief. So I'd say that is one key axis. And the other key axis, and as a point of pride, is building a company of just outstanding individuals, being able to attract and retain professionals that I think I would put up against anybody in the industry in terms of quality, commitment, and expertise, and wrapping a culture around that, again, I believe is second to none. That to me is a treat and an ongoing source of satisfaction.
And so magnificent what you've built. Let me ask you a question on the last point. The last point, with so many great researchers, scientists, leaders pulled into this COVID vaccine effort and everything related to COVID, is recruiting and retaining harder at the present time, given how much of the worldwide effort has been absorbed, is absorbing scientists and clinicians and researchers into those efforts?
I wouldn't necessarily lay it at the doorstep of COVID, Scott, although that may have intensified things. There is a bona fide war on talent in the biotech industry. And having a company that's doing exciting things, whether it's COVID related or not, is critically important. Having a culture that's an embracing, collaborative, upbeat, positive, shall I say, even fun culture is also important. But, you know, we're in the Boston area, and there are lots of opportunities there for talented individuals. And we're very cognizant of the fact that people can go elsewhere. It's a free country, and all we can do is create the opportunities for individuals to contribute and grow on the one hand, and to work in an environment that they love working in. Put those two together, I would call that a very strong defense in the war on talent.
No, it's well taken, and I'll avoid this concept, so my friends hate me for it. So I went to school in Boston, I went to Harvard, and my friends generally tell me if by 9 a.m. I've not reminded them of that, then there's something wrong with me that day. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not even going to go there, Scott. Yeah.
Mike, it's a great pleasure to visit with you. It's literally amazing what you've done. I'm so thrilled to get a chance to visit with you and so happy you were introduced to us. What a pleasure to visit with you and talk to you about what you're doing at Flexion. Thank you so much.
A genuine pleasure, Scott. Thank you.